Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are back again this week in studio with Lori Beth Jones, best-selling author of at least 14 books. I keep losing track of this, Lori Beth. Is it 14 or 15?
I don't know. You quit counting after a certain point.
Nevertheless, we're excited to be here this evening to share with you looking at Jesus in Blue Jeans, the everyday spirituality book, as one of our topics of discussion for the last several weeks. We are looking into the section on power and how an Omega leads with power. This week we're going to be looking at two specific chapters in this book about being a gate opener and stepping into the water. So welcome, Lori Beth, to the show.
Hi, I'm just glad to be here, as always.
We're delighted to have you, and also with us all the way from over on the eastern part of the United States, we have Elise Stanfield. And Elise brings a strong background in sales and marketing and has spent a lot of time working with organizations and groups and training others in the field of sales and marketing. And over the last couple of years has brought her expertise to the national leadership team at Lori Beth Jones Incorporated and is serving in a capacity of trainer and national team leader in the area of teen and path for teen interest. Her company right now is called Teens to the Core. We're delighted to have you, Elise. Welcome to the Omega Leadership Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Excellent. Well, we are going to just go ahead and jump into this topic of Omega Leadership, where it is a blend of the alpha style of leadership, the authoritative style, and the beta, which is the cooperative style of management, bringing those two together in what Lori Beth has coined the phrase Omega Leader. And each week we come to the show talking about the principles and styles of how Jesus led his team using the concepts and constructs from Lori's body of work and life teaching and life message about leadership. And so this evening, Lori Beth, as we jump into what you have already told us is two of your favorite chapters in this section, talk to us a little bit your thoughts on how Jesus, as the Omega Leader, was a gate opener. Let's start with that.
Well, in the book, I share one of my favorite childhood memories, which was growing up in the valley, in the lower valley in El Paso, Texas. And we had a little, about an acre of land, and it was irrigated. When you get that much land, you don't want to necessarily, well, in the desert, you just don't have sprinkler systems. We were kind of on the outskirts. So you're dependent on canals. And the water doesn't just flow in the canal continuously. It's released at certain times. And my father was made aware right before the water came, but only right before the water came, when it would be flowing past our house. And if we did not get to the gate to open it, we would miss our allocation of water for that 2 weeks, which would really mean death to the plants in the acreage. So I would just wait with him, and sometimes it would come at midnight. I remember one time it was at 2 a.m. in the morning, and we'd take the flashlights out, and he'd let me open the gate and let the water pour into the land. And it was just such a thrilling feeling, grabbing that baling wire with my little arms and lifting up the gates sometimes that were rusted closed. And it occurred to me that Jesus experienced that same joy in lifting up the gate to resources. He was constantly trying to remind us of the heavenly resources that are ours. He compared himself to the gate. I am the gate. A gate is something that, you know, there's long walls on either side, and then you see an opening. There's a possibility. There's a way of passage through. The whole name of my hometown, El Paso, is the pass, because that's where the conquistadors, they came all the way down the Rocky Mountains, all the way up the Rocky Mountains, and then they found a pass, and they made it through. So Jesus said he was that passageway to heaven. And opening the gates is something that Omega leaders do, to resources, to new ideas, to possibilities, to self-confidence, to strength. So, Elise, I know in the pre-show you shared that you'd had some thoughts and insights around this concept. So let's hear what your heart has to say about opening the gate.
Well, as I was sitting here thinking about it, I thought it was ironic going to the elements, which I love so much, and considering the water. And water is life-giving, and it's one of the things, one of the elements that I am the lowest in. So I think that it's ironic that water shows up in both of these two segments. But what I have found is, personally, is when we move out of ourselves and we move into a role of giving, and opening the gates, like you had said, it changes the perspective of how you, of how I move forward, of how I am choosing to move forward. And as I just loved hearing you talk about being a little girl and opening up that gate, it just brought, I mean, you just seem so very sweet and adorable. And
thank you. Can you put that in writing? Send it to my brother and sister.
Well, and as I was reading it, I thought the same thing. I thought, oh, how sweet, a little girl and her father out there opening this gate. And at the same time, you know, Jesus being the father and opening, you know, being the gate, and then you opening, it just was such a precious image to me. And as we open ourselves up and recognize the power that that has to be that gate opener for somebody else. And I was reading in here where, you know, we may be the only gate opener for someone, and how huge that is. So, and how much power that we have, provided that, you know, the gate is Jesus's gate, and that it's opening up and providing that living water. Just the image of that is very powerful to me.
Yes. You know, I took the liberty to Google the word gate openers, and knew that I probably wouldn't find a person, right? I was hoping I would see the name Lori Beth Jones, you know, maybe pop up in that Google search, but it just didn't happen, Lori. But Rick Warren's name wasn't there either, so. As I Googled the word gate openers, and I have this right here in front of me, things like automatic gate openers, gate automation, swing and slide, gate operators, driveway gates. Let's see, what was the other one down here? Residential and light commercial gate openers, the Chamberlain garage door opener. You know, so as I looked at that list, I thought, what is the characteristic of a gate opener? The person. This person that, as a leader, we are called to be, as Omega leaders, gate openers. What does that look like? And if we could define it and describe it, what would be some of the characteristics, Lori Beth, of a gate opener from a leader's perspective, working with a team, corralling a congregation, you know, COO of a Fortune 500 company? What is the characteristic of gate openers?
Well, I'm thinking of a CEO that I'm working with, and sometimes gate openers have to redirect the team or an individual, someone who is perhaps a moth flying against a window. You know, sometimes the leader has to say, look, you're never going to get out that way. You're never going to break through doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You need to come to a different place. And the CEO that I'm working with had a staff member that was very stubborn and entrenched in his job title. And the team really wanted him reassigned. And it took some time to do that. But once he was actually disciplined, sent home, given time to think, and then came back and shown a new gate that he could go through, he has really done well. And so this was a case of an Omega leader not just standing in front of somebody and opening the gate
right.
they wanted,
right.
but saying, hey, that's the wrong door. You know, you need to redirect.
Sometimes I wonder about the hardware, you know, in our lives, or the software of being a gate opener, the hinges, the doors, the locks. I know you love doors, Elise, so jump in here at any time. But it's significant. You know, Jesus said, I am the gate, I am the way, right? So there, you know, maybe you described early on, Lori, that there's this passageway, right? So maybe there's no gate on it. But if we're gate openers, it's developing a way. It's developing the skill set or adding additional hinges or maybe even repairing the hinges of our lives because something has, you know, rusted on the gate.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, because I was going to turn the floor over to you about hinges and gates and hardware.
Well, one thing that I keep coming back to is being a parent or being a leader in a youth group is when you see a kid, when you see a child and it's obvious that they're moving in such a way that it's not natural for them, or you see a door that has a hinge that's broken or it's, you know, it is rubbing a little bit harder on one side than the other, it only seems natural that one would go over and help push it up or try to, you know, not do it for them, but help facilitate in that way to provide information so that they can move forward. And I think that it can go in so many different directions, thinking about a child who is struggling in school because they're not the stereotypical kid, being able to facilitate and find new ways for that child to learn and to be their door and to still be able to be functional within the door frame that it is, you know, you talk about doors, I probably can go to doors pretty easy, a little easier, but it's still solid. And the easiest way for me to see things is through the eyes of a child and what they're experiencing. And from my parenting perspective and the youth leader coming in and helping them, you know, I don't know, be a functional door, regardless of what your hinges have been given to you or however, I guess, as far as leadership and helping open that door.
Right, and so another way to look at this, Lori Beth, is powerful people. In this chapter, you say that powerful people's jobs are to open the gate to new possibilities. So that's one of the traits of a gate opener, is seeing the possibilities. And I think that's what you're talking about, Elise, as well, especially with teens. And I know your background is teens, so I'm glad that you're bringing that in and that you're working with teens. And it's easy to see a teen running headstrong into a brick wall. I mean, they don't even need a gate, right? They're just like, they're infallible. They're going to just crush through the wall. And but as the two of you think about the characteristics of gate openers, I think we still, you know, need from you, Lori Beth, a little bit of things like this about how the gate opener sees the possibilities. You know, how do they, how does that happen from a leader's perspective? How did Jesus get people to see the possibilities beyond the gate?
Well, I think when we hit a wall is when we start looking for the gate. So when you suddenly need healing, you're going to look for a gate. When you suddenly have a crisis with finances, you're going to look for a gate. When you have relationship challenges, when your teen breaks curfew or you get the call from the principal's office and you've done everything you possibly know to do, you need a new opening. Mm. And that's why, you know, the Spirit of Christ and the personhood of Christ is so powerful, because he knows what we cannot know. And he sees the end, the beginning, and what has always been, and can hold that space for us when we are at a loss. And my sister carries around I went to her home. She's a painter like my mother, and she had this beautiful new frame. It's quite large. It was a 2x3 frame. And she had laid it against her blue velvet chair that had a zebra pillow on it. And I thought it was so striking the way the frame framed the texture of the chair and the color of the pillow and the contrast. So I took a picture of it. And I realized that as Omega leaders, we're constantly reframing things. So it's almost like the gate. The opening is over here. You know, my mother taught me composition, and she used to hold up a blank frame, a small one, and say, okay, if you focus here, what do you see? Now, if you move it 3 inches to the left, now if you move it over here, if you turn it upside down, what do you see? So constantly looking at things in new ways, that's what gate openers do. And sensing the power of the resources that are available to us and saying, look, I'll be the opening. I'll be your contact. Let me make that call for you. I know where the resources are. Lobbyists, in a way, are attempting to be gate openers for their clients. They want the money of government to flow to their clients. Doctors are gate openers, wanting healing, medicine, surgeries. So they want to, you know, return the blood flow to the body and get things moving again. So that those are my thoughts on really opening the gate.
Nice. Very well. Excellent way to transition us into this next focus of stepping into the water. Wow, elementally, that is that has a lot of power behind it right there, even the title. But talk to us a little bit about how the Omega leader, Jesus, stepped into the water from a leadership perspective as you wrote and penned these words, Lori.
Well, Jesus went through baptism, and he really didn't need to. In fact, John the Baptist said, what are you doing here? You should be baptizing me. But in a very moving scene, he chooses to be baptized in the water. And I've had the privilege of actually seeing the Jordan River and the general location where they believe it happened. And, of course, it's not a beautiful, flowing, clear stream. It's sort of like the Rio Grande. It's kind of, you know, muddy and nothing much to write home about. But Jesus stepped into the water, and symbolically, you know, in our dreams, they say water represents consciousness. And so as you move into the water or through the water, you're leaving your comfort zone of land and you're moving into another state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was born into the flesh, he left the powers of heaven and came into another state of consciousness of a baby having to learn to walk and talk and, you know, grow in wisdom and favor. So stepping into the water is used many times in Scripture as a state of going from unfaithfulness to faithfulness. I know with Joshua, when they were going into the Promised Land, they had to step into the water before they could cross over. So there's some beautiful imagery that talks to us about the importance of leaving the land and going into a different element, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Elise?
Yeah, again, about that water. It's just so significant in so many ways. I think that I love the picture that you drew, again, of your childhood, going out to the end of the diving board and standing there and all your friends being behind you at the beginning of the summer. It's the first time you're jumping off and there's so much excitement going on and you're like, okay, well, my friends are back here. I got to do something. And you go. And you jump off the board. And I think that sometimes it was said to me one time, that leap into the water can appear to be 6 feet high when sometimes the reality is it's only an inch. And I think it's, again, you know, we were talking about perspective and perception of the faith in that. And even though it seems like a big jump, when you get outside of your comfort zone, my experience is that 10 times out of 10, you're provided with extraordinary insights as a result coming back. You know, when you, the more faith that you have or the more times you jump into the water, you stretch more, your faith stretches more, and what ends up coming back tenfold in the end.
Elise, now what elements are you?
I'm a wind fire, and I have not a whole lot of water. That's why it just came to me, the irony here of all this water going on and how much, you know, really what it boils down to for me is, and I just cling to the elements because it provides so much insight in my daily walking life. And not having a whole lot of water really requires so much more faith for me, lacking it. So it's like that is really where faith has to step in when I am trying to be a nurturing, free-flowing kind of girl. It requires a lot of faith and a lot of discomfort for me to go into that water element.
Yeah, I think that's pretty profound for me too, because I'm a wind fire and water is my second lowest element. Shelley is sitting here as a fire earth and water is her lowest element. So I think it is a very good discipline for us to think about what it means to contemplate the water and to move into the water and to be more water-like in our approach rather than constantly trying to get fast results, which is what wind fires like to do. And fire earths like to get methodical results, and it's all about the results. With the water is about relationships. It's about reflection. It's about changing. It's about becoming a solution to the problem. It's about quenching thirst. So with your background in sales and marketing, how can you think of a time when you had to step into the water and open the gate? Let's blend both of these for a client and how you did that in a way that was water-like and turned out to be very successful.
Well, being a wind also, I can read pretty well other people. So it having a lot of body language experience and that kind of ability, knowing when to back off, knowing when to nurture, knowing when to lead into. I can think of one guy in particular. He was a really gruff-looking guy, yet was a super tender person. So initially when I had gone in, I was thinking this big burly guy is going to need to be, you know, have a little bit of fire going on there, when it turns out that walking into, in order to lead him in the direction that I needed for him to go, I kind of had to nurture his spirit some in order to impart the information that he needed. So I had to become very uncomfortable for me and speak, you know, come into his level in order to impart the information that he needed to have. And, you know, and again, to provide the things that he needed that were going to help him succeed as well.
Interesting. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about this whole diving board image from the chapter, talking about stepping into the water. And sometimes we're not on the diving board. I think you indicated, Elise, that sometimes it's just stepping your toe, you know, putting your toe out there and taking that next step outside your comfort zone, an individual's comfort zone, and moving into a water-like attitude or spirit. But I recall when I was in sixth grade, I was on the end of the diving board, and I thought of this today as I was reflecting on this chapter. Went to the diving board to jump off into the water. We were at the YMCA, my cousin and I, and I'm positioned, and she yells for me, gets my attention, and wants me to come over and do something fun with her. And so I'm on the end, and I think, okay, I'm just going to jump off into the water and swim over to the edge, right? That'll be the fastest way. Fire wants to get, you know, to the fastest result. But then in my mind, it switched just like in an instant, and I ran back towards the steps of the diving board and decided to jump off halfway onto the cement. Well, I missed the cement.
Wow.
And my chin came down on the edge of the concrete pool, and that was all she wrote. I had this huge gash, blood going everywhere, people screaming at me to get out of the water. And as I thought about that experience today, stepping into the water can sometimes be that painful for some people. And it's mm-hmm. almost like being a gate opener, right? We're called to hold the hand of the person that missed their jump, or the person that did the belly smack, you know, or the high dive that didn't end so well. We're called to be that kind of leader in helping people step in to the water, helping people to step out of the water. But this whole image of water, Lori Beth, is, I think, profound in one sense, because it's so much different than my element fire, right? It's just my total opposite. And so I don't always take time to think about stepping into water. I know there was a time when I would almost every week go sit by the water just to soak in and calm and cool the fire. But it's a powerful lesson, and thank you for sharing this tonight and writing this context for us to think about what it would mean as a leader to step in. So I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on this as well.
Well, this is somewhat of a different take on the subject, but lately I've been going to art stores a lot. We did our first Reinvent Your Life workshop last Friday. It was amazing, and I did a lot of art supply shopping to prepare for it, and there was a photograph, or a painting rather, and I took a picture of it as a flash image, to an imagination exercise to warm people up. So it's called David Without His Armor, and it shows this very powerful-looking man, and he has on the helmet, and then he just has on a loincloth kind of draped across him. He's sitting down, and his torso is exposed. And it's so touching because, first of all, he's a beautiful man, but secondly, he's exposed. He's vulnerable. And it was only when he took off the armor that didn't fit him that he was able to move into God's power. And as I've contemplated that and why that image touched me so much, I think as a businesswoman, you know, I've had to put on a lot of armor. You know, it's a tough world out there sometimes. And you know, maybe God can use me more when I'm vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And more water, more open to reflection, more open even to pain and being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we hurt Jesus in every way that we could, and yet he rose again. He not only stepped into the water, he became the water. And in fact, I was thinking this the other day. It's like if someone said to you, I'm going to kill the water, you know, other than poisoning it, could they really kill it? Like, could they blow it up? Could they stab it to death?
Yeah.
Water is kind of invulnerable and invincible because it can leave the situation when it becomes hostile, you know, and come back in another form. So I was just thinking about that, and I so much wanted to be water. And yet, here we all are, winds and fires and fires and winds. At least you have anything. I think we've got just a minute or so.
Can you wait 1 second, at least?
Finish 90 seconds.
Finish that thought, Lori Beth. When you take the armor off, it does not fit. You often
experience more of God's power.
Mm.
When you step into the water,
yep,
you're not going to drown unless you're wearing armor that doesn't fit you.
Mm.
It's easier to swim. So, Elise, do you have a 15-second final thought, and then I'll close us out?
One thing, the image that keeps coming up, I used to teach swimming lessons to little kids, and I always had to stand at the end of the diving board for the little ones to jump in, and it gave them the boldness to be able to actually jump when I was standing there at the end, whether they needed my help or not.
Mm.
That's a
very great image. So I just want to encourage our listeners to think about what gate is God calling you to open on behalf of someone else. Is it a resource? Is it financial? Is it a tip, a lead? Is it something that a secret that they need to know? You know, if you turn the lock this way, it's going to open easier. Are you mentoring someone? Omega leaders open the gates for others. And then stepping into the water, are you willing to leave length? in order to move into a new form of consciousness? Are you willing to leave what you know in order to step into something that you don't know and experience God's power? That's what Omega leaders do. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Thank you, everyone. See you next
week. Happy birthday, Shelley.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks, Elise.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Shelley.
Bye-bye.
Bye.